Good morning.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's the first service of the New Year. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we invite, you know, look forward to sharing this talk with you today from Unity Center of Light located in Bowie, Maryland. We always like to remind you, if you're new to this and don't know this, we do every Sunday we have a Zoom fellowship service. And you can tune into that service through your the link through your Eden newsletter or your weekly update. And it's a time to get to, you know, talk with people, see others, listen to this lesson in meditation, and just be in community with other Unity folks. So we invite you to be part of that. And if you do not get the weekly newsletter or update, you can go to our website, unitycenteroflight.org. And connect that way. But anyway, right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning again, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, January the 7th. The key word is wholeness, and the affirmation is wholeness is my nature and the truth of my life. I see myself complete and as a living expression of God. My thoughts fill my consciousness with the divine idea of wholeness. My words affirm this wholeness. Through my actions, I bless the life energy in my body with the right balance of exercise, rest, and nutrition. I live from my wholeness even if I experience illness. I may receive treatment, but I do not consider myself weak or diseased. I move through every health challenge with faith and grace, trusting the experience has come to pass. I remember wherever I am, whatever may be happening, divine life is always seeking to express through me. To restore my awareness of wholeness, which is and will always be my true spiritual state of being. The scripture reading is taken from Luke 11:34, and it reads, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, you know, today's talk, creating a life you want to live, that's actually the theme for the year, okay? And I just want to let you know that this talk is going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be so much metaphysical or spiritual as it's going to be looking at the personal aspects of ourselves and how to tie that in with our spiritual journey, so to speak, okay? So here we are in the year 2024, and each time we enter a new year, it makes me think back to when I was younger, like teenage younger, and how at that time, if someone had mentioned the year 2024 to me, it would have seemed impossible to imagine. This is probably, you know, back in the, wow, the 60s, okay, the early 60s. But time marches on, whether we wanted to or not. And if we think about time in relation to creating the life we want to live, we become more and more aware of how precious this commodity of time is to achieving our life goals. We read in Ephesians 5:15-16, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil." And I'll explain that last time. Sometimes scripture is interesting in terms of how it explains things. But then this verse emphasizes how important it is to use wisdom in managing our time and making the most of every opportunity, especially in a world filled with distractions and challenges. Okay, And the fact that we live in a world filled with distractions and challenges may be one of the greatest things that's impacting our, you know, our wise use of time, okay? And this is probably what Paul meant when he wrote, the days are evil, meaning they are filled with things, events, circumstances that distract us from creating the life we really want. I mean, think about how many times you say to yourself, I really want to focus on this, but then something else comes up and distracts you from that. You know, you have to take care of that first before you can move back to what you really want to do. But, you know, the thing is, not totally are we distracted, because I believe that many of us do live the life that we want, okay? Maybe not everything, but at least to some degree, I think many of us are living some of the, you know, some of the parts of the life that we wanted to create. So this lesson is on creating the life you want to live. And that is the theme, you know, the unity-wide theme for 2024, okay? Creating the life you want to live. And this could very well become one of those goal-setting and goal-achieving talks with all the things we've heard before. You know, you think about it. Creating a life you want to live, right away you think we're going to go to how to set goals and achieve those goals. But that's not where I want to go with this, okay? Let's see if we can put a different slant on this. It says, it's said by several philosophers. I looked at several philosophers to understand this thing about creating the life we want to live. And it says that the key to this endeavor of creating the life we want to live is to figure out who you really are. Not necessarily from a spiritual perspective, because that's what we usually talk about. You know, who am I spiritually? But we're going to look at this from a deep personal perspective. Ask yourself, who am I really when I strip away my job title, my relationships, my hobbies, outside interests, my religious beliefs, and on and on and on, okay? Who am I when it's just me without the world telling me who I should be? That's what we're going to approach, okay? And of course, time has a tremendous impact on this who am I when I, you know, it's just me exploration, okay? So the question, who am I when it is just me, delves into the core of our self-awareness, self-acceptance, and our individual identity. When you are alone, free from all external influences and social contexts, you may be able to experience at that time a more authentic, unfiltered version of yourself. Okay? However, this idea of trying to understand who you are, who I am, okay, separate from the identities, joys, fears, and perceptions we have developed throughout our lifetime, may be more difficult than trying to comprehend the idea that we are the Christ and thus divine, right? So a philosophical answer to the question, who am I, is that we are an all-encompassing system of memories, experiences, feelings, thoughts, relationships, and values that define who each of us is. It's the stuff that makes up what we are usually claiming when we say me or myself, okay? That me or myself is an all-encompassing system, again, of the memories, experiences, feelings, thoughts, relationships, and values that cause us to define ourselves in a certain way, okay? It's the stuff that others use to describe and define you. You might be, remember I told you years ago, decades ago, I was applying for a job at Marriott Corporation headquarters. And the person interviewing me says, if I was to ask your wife to describe you, what would she say about you? Okay. And again, typically it's a lot of the external dynamics. Okay. But is that really who we are? Okay. So the philosopher David Hume postulates that there really is no substantial self. Okay, now, this is just one side of the story I'm giving you, because, you know, different philosophers have different ways of looking at this. But David Hume postulates that there's really no substantial self, meaning he sees the self as a bundle or collection of perceptions and experiences which are constantly changing in relationship to our life experiences and how we're reacting to those. So basically, Hume is saying we cannot experience an authentic, unfiltered version of ourself separate from our perceptions, experiences, and how we interpret and react to those experiences. Okay? But think about this. If I cannot know myself separate from my perceptions and experiences, if I cannot know myself separate from my perceptions and experiences, how can I know God outside of my perceptions and experiences? That's why we're approaching this lesson from the standpoint of understanding the true, authentic me. Because if I don't know the true, authentic me, there's really no way, and I'm caught up, and I can't know that because I'm caught up in my perceptions about myself, the mask that I wear, the social mask and so forth that I wear. If I'm caught up in that, okay, and can't get to the authentic me, devoid of all of that, then how can I know God outside of my perceptions? If I can't know myself outside of my perceptions, how can I know God outside of my perceptions? And, you know, am I continuously mixing God up with my perceptions? The key to this. Is it possible that only this authentic self can know God? All right, that's the question. But still, we probably have not adequately defined or explained the authentic self in a way that makes sense. Okay? Now, Dr. Phil is not one of my favorite folks to get information from. But in my research, I came across his website, and he explains the authentic self, and I thought this was a good explanation. He says, your authentic self is who you are when you have no fear of being judged or before the world starts pushing you around and telling you who you are supposed to be. On the other hand, your fictional self is who you are when you put on your social mask to please everyone else. He says, give yourself permission to be your authentic self, okay? So our difficulty in understanding this authentic self or authentic me concept is that from a sociological perspective, we have been taught to create a fictional self complete with social masks, sometimes several social masks, that we switch between depending on the circumstance that we're in, okay? And the other roadblock to being more authentic may be that we have come to believe that our fictional self, with all of the perceptions we have about who we think we are, is actually our authentic self, all right? Think about it. When somebody asks, who are you? We usually will answer from one of our social masks. I'm a dad, I'm a teacher, I'm a minister, I'm a photographer. You know, we typically answer the question not from the perspective of our authentic self, but from what we do or how we see our role in life. Right? So it is possible that we can't really answer the question, who are you? Because we most likely do not know. Right? That's what we're working on in this lesson. So Dr. Phil, in his article, Defining Your Authentic Self, he explains, the authentic self is the real you that resides at the core of your being. It is a part of you not defined by your job, function, or role. It is a composite of all your skills, talents, and wisdom. It is all of the things that are uniquely yours and need expression, rather than what you believe you are supposed to be or do. Okay? So, this may be similar to the idea you heard before, that if you get up every morning to do what you love to do, not because you're supposed to do it or have to do it, but would do it whether or not you are being paid. We've talked about this. You know, rather you do it because of the great joy you feel deep in your soul. This possibly is an example of living from your authentic self. Okay, and again, the author explains, Dr. Phil explains, he says, the fictional self is when you're not living faithfully to your authentic self. You find yourself feeling incomplete, as if there is a hole in your soul. And that's an interesting statement. Be interesting if I'm doing this in person to see how many people would raise their hand if I ask, do you know what that feels like? And you find yourself incomplete, as if there's a hole in your soul because you're not living from your authentic self. You may have found that it is easier to fill the roles your families and friends expect of you rather than being what you really want to be. Living this way drains you of the critical life energy you need to pursue the things you truly value in your life. Okay. Now, believe me when I say that living life from your authentic self is easier said than done. You know, for a lot of us, our life may have been more about making a living. You know, you see so many times, or I have heard personally that, you know, kids growing up, they want to be a musician or an artist or something. And the parents will say, no, you got to do something where you can really make a living. Okay. So that's, you know, this idea of making a living, you know, sometimes that takes away your authentic hopes and dreams and the desires of your soul because you get caught up in this thing of I got to make a living. Okay. So when I was teaching at the college, I marvel at professors who are teaching what they loved. Okay, and one professor in particular that I knew who taught economics, this guy, he drank, ate, slept economics. He breathed economics. It was his passion. He had no thought of retiring from it. It filled him with joy, and it ignited his soul. Okay, now, on the other hand, another source expressed that when you live a life that has you ignoring that true gift, now, his gift was teaching economics, helping people to understand economics. That was his gift, okay? But when you ignore your true gifts and talents while performing assigned duties or roles instead that you really don't, I'm not interested in, you're living as your fictional self, okay? And I could even think of my own life of being in situations like that. I'm sure you can think in your own life of being in situations like that where you were doing it. It was a role that was assigned to you. You got paid for it. That's how you were making a living. But it really wasn't your authentic dreams and goals to be doing that. Okay. And again, I admit that being authentic in the world that we grew up in is probably easier said than done. See, this puts living the authentic life on a parallel path with living the Christ life. Let me say that again. This puts living the authentic life on a parallel path with living the Christ life. Because each of these journeys presents a great challenge to continuing to live the ego or fictional life. Okay? But either one of those, that you're trying to live the authentic life or you're trying to live the Christ-like life, both of those are in competition with the ego or your fictional life. But being hard or challenging does not mean that living the authentic life is impossible, okay? An inspirational author, Shannon Alder, says this. When you stop living your life based on what others think of you, that is when your real life begins. When you stop living your life based on what others think of you, that's when your real life begins. At that moment, you will finally see the door of self-acceptance open, okay? And as this next author says, you'll never know who you really are unless you shed who you pretend to be, okay? And let me just say at this point that this lesson is not assuming that you're not already living your authentic life, okay? Just be with me on that. Now, for many of you listening, this could be just a reminder or just create an awareness. That's what you have been doing. You've been living your authentic life. You can say, oh, yeah, I've been living my authentic life. Or you might be thinking, I have not been living my authentic life, okay? For many reasons, a multitude of reasons for each one of us. And for others, it could be an awakening and possibly an inspiration to strive to live your life differently. But either way, living life as your authentic self has its challenges, okay? But as we read in Psalm 27:3, though an army besieges me, My heart will not fear. Okay, you're trying to live the authentic life or the Christ-like life. And this psalm is saying, though an army besieges me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, that war could be within yourself. Even then, I will be confident. Okay, so what this psalm is expressing is how the struggles of this life experience have been going on throughout the history of humanity. Okay, because this psalm, the Psalms, the Book of Psalms, okay, creating that literally spanned a time frame of 1,000 years to create that book. Okay, and most of the Psalms are written between the years 101 and 930 before Christ. So even though living on an authentic life through self-acceptance may not be easy, there are thousands of years of wisdom for us to learn from about how others have also understood this concept of how do I go about living the authentic life. Okay. So now we've talked a little bit about living the authentic life. Now let's look at what part the radical idea of self-acceptance plays in living the authentic life. Now, in an article titled, The Path to Self-Acceptance, Paved Through Daily Practice, written by Elizabeth Perry, she explains, self-acceptance is the act of accepting yourself and all your personality traits exactly as they are. Now, that could be challenging, but this is the idea of self-acceptance. You accept them no matter whether they are positive or negative. This includes your physical and mental attributes. So self-acceptance means recognizing that your value goes beyond your personal attributes and actions. And this is sometimes known as radical self-acceptance. Okay. Now, we're going to broaden the idea because a lot of things you might be saying to yourself, well, there's things about me that I just don't want to accept. Right? But the key here is, if you're not accepting things about yourself that you don't like, then you're at war with them. And if you're at war with them, you can't get to authenticity because you're at war within yourself. So the first thing is acceptance. And then, we work towards how do we bring those things into alignment in a way that allow us to be more authentic. Okay. So Elizabeth Perry also explains that many of us struggle with self-acceptance because we have a tendency to want to hide, neglect, and reject, this is what we're talking about, the parts of ourselves that we consider to be unacceptable. Okay? So we would rather change them than accept them. Now, this is interesting. Research shows that self-acceptance is fundamental for our overall mental health and well-being. The evidence in this research seems to indicate that there's a direct link between low levels of self-acceptance and mental illness. So let's look at what impact self-acceptance can have on your life. Okay. Now, I'm going to give five examples. It's going to be sort of like when we did the divine love thing where I've got these slides that I want to show. And it's really interesting. I know that these slides and this way of doing it goes all against, the right way of doing PowerPoints. But I want you to have this information to refer back to as opposed to just listen to me, share it. Okay. So again, Elizabeth Perry has an article, The Path of Self-Acceptance, Paved Through Daily Practice. Now, we're going to go through five examples of what she means by daily practice. Okay, so the first one is self-acceptance helps you control your emotions. So a lack of self-acceptance limits your capacity for happiness. Okay, that's what we were saying. If you're not accepting something about yourself, you're in a battle. Okay, and you can't be fully happy under those circumstances. It also affects your psychological and emotional well-being. It keeps you focused on the negative aspect of yourself. And these negative thoughts create the negative emotions. By contrast, high levels of self-acceptance are linked to more positive emotions and greater psychological well-being. Self-acceptance can boost your mood and shield you from the effects of stress and depression. Okay? And again, like I said, that's, you know, that's information you can go back to reread and try to get an understanding of how that fits in your life. So the second one, the second example, is self-acceptance helps you forgive yourself. That's a big one. And according to Dr. Pele of Harvard Medical School, acceptance and forgiveness go hand in hand. He says that the inability to accept and forgive ourselves causes us to split into two different parts. These two parts, the one that needs to be forgiven and the one that needs to forgive, are at odds with one another. Self-acceptance can help you bridge the gap between them, enabling you to forgive yourself for your mistakes and then just move on, okay? And we understand that one. So the next one, number three, is self-acceptance gives you more self-confidence. Self-acceptance helps you understand that your perceived negative qualities, and this is important, don't define you or your worth. So when you are confident, you are more likely to take action despite your fears. So in contrast, a lack of self-acceptance can hold you back and stop you from going after your dreams. Self-acceptance helps you realize that failure does not define you and is always a learning opportunity for the path to success. And confidence can also give you greater independence. It allows you to make decisions for yourself without needing the approval of others. That's a big one, okay? And number four, self-acceptance leads to self-compassion, all right? Self-compassion researcher. You never think about the things that people spend their life doing, but self-compassion researcher, Christian Nerf. Self-compassion is more important for our mental, emotional well-being than self-esteem, okay? She describes self-compassion as giving yourself the same kindness and care you would give to a good friend. And cultivating self-compassion can help you be kinder to yourself when you fail and make you more resilient to setbacks. These are really good, okay? And then number five is self-acceptance helps you be yourself, okay? When you lack self-acceptance, you're constantly trying to hide, censor, and repress your own true self. That is, again, if we were in person, it'd be, you know, interesting for us to share with each other our thoughts around these. And self-acceptance can help you to show up more authentically without worrying about others' judgments of you. Essentially, when you accept yourself, you feel free to be your whole self in the situation and relationships in your life. Okay, so as I shared before, you may be in a head-heart space where none of these apply to you. Okay, meaning that you're working on this, or you may be in a head-heart space where you find some of this to be helpful in creating the life you want to live. Okay. So you could have been doing this all already and you got it down, or you could be in a space where you're saying, I need to work on some of these ideas. Okay? And that is the theme for this year. Again, the Unity theme is creating the life you want to live. Okay? So Ernest Holmes writes in his book, Know Thyself. He says, it is not our spirit that needs healing. Now listen carefully. It is not our spirit that needs healing. That is really the essence of this whole talk. We weren't talking anything about healing our spirit, okay? Rather, it is our mental reaction to life that needs healing. And most of the talk we do, it's all about, you know, you got to get to your Christ self. You got to, you know, move into this Christ mind and blah, blah, blah. He said, the spiritual side of us, that's not what needs healing. What needs healing is our mental reactions to the life. That's what needs healing. And that is the basic theme of this lesson, because as we say every week, we are already spiritually whole. Okay, our spiritual wholeness and strength is emphasized in Psalm 73:26. says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So I'm going to end with this affirmation from Science of Mind magazine for us to contemplate this week. Okay? And this is from last Sunday, December 31st. It says, today I begin my life anew with a heightened awareness of my whole self and a commitment to create the life I want to live. And so it is. Amen. And now we'll have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, as we still ourselves and get comfortable right where we are, we take 3 deep breaths in and out and begin to feel our bodies relax. In this meditation, I will be equating wholeness as holiness. We are all interconnected. What we do for others, we do for ourselves. Love passed on to others becomes the most meaningful form of self-love, and care of the earth and its inhabitants becomes care of self. The harmony of the universe is wholeness. We live wholeness when we remember our story and through it experience a deeper sense of being part of a greater whole. We live wholeness when we know we belong to people, to a place, to a community and tribe, to earth, to God, and to the cosmos. We live wholeness when we know that what we already have is enough and all that we need is to be resourceful with it. Living wholeness is participating in the love that gathers everything together into greater unity and consciousness. It is to live with an openness of mind and heart, to meet others not as strangers but as parts of ourselves. When we enter into the heart of love in this way, we come to know our truest and deeper belonging and calling. This is wholeness and it cannot be separated from love. Join me now as we go into the secret place of the Most High with the sacred intention of knowing the wholeness and love as holiness. During these few moments, let's begin to create and invent ways for love to evolve into a global wholeness of unity, compassion, justice, and peacemaking. We are grateful, sweet spirit, for all answers and prayers and the ability to co-create and live the life we want to live. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to join us.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. I enjoyed that service.
So this is the time board. Again, the first service of the new year, the first week of the new year. So, we're entering into a time where we have hopes and dreams about what this new year will bring. And hopefully, being thankful for the blessings that we received in 2023. So just being mindful of how your life is being blessed. Just hold that in mind as we say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen. And also, keeping that same mindset of being thankful, just think about Unity Center of Light as your spiritual home, your spiritual community, where you receive spiritual food from and hopefully upliftment. And you hold in your mind and your spirit and in your heart, the offerings that you feel to share with Unity to support your spiritual home. So with that in mind, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, and now you have
light notes. So our light notes for today, January the 7th, number one, it's please make a note that there will be no in-person service during the month of January. And it is once again time to consider our annual commitments. This is about our internal reflections and commitments to our spiritual growth in consciousness and creating the life we want to live. The fillable forms can be found in your updates and e-newsletter. On January 14th, our guest speaker is the Reverend Kathleen Kurzweck. She will be on Zoom. Reverend Kathleen will be bringing us the message and meditation and leading us in the White Stone Ceremony. You'll have the opportunity to write a new name for yourself in 2024. Please check your updates and e-newsletters for more details about the White Stone Ceremony. Would you be interested in exploring the Access Abundance Toolkit for 2024? The kickoff session is on Saturday, January the 20th, 12 noon to 3 p.m. It'll be on Zoom with Colette DeChalice-Lee, licensed Unity teacher. She'll facilitate visioning for the group. The Access Abundance Toolkit is $20. Please call Patty to purchase your kit. The Book Light Book Club's new read is the book, This Life is Yours, Discover Your Power, Claim Your Wholeness, and Heal Your Life by Linda Martella-Witset. The book discussion will take place on Sunday, March the 10th, from 1 to 3 p.m. on Zoom. You may see more details in your e-newsletter and updates. And I'm complete.
All right. I just want to emphasize. So if you get the e-newsletter, this is what the fillable form looks like in the e-newsletter. And you just click, download, and you can download that form and fill it out. And that's for your 2024 commitment. And we encourage and appreciate, all those who fill out that form and submit it back to us. So thank you very much for that. So, honey, what time is it now?
It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
So, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right, and now we're going to do our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Okay, so it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope you have a wonderful new year. We look forward to seeing you next week. We got a wonderful guest speaker next week. Other than that, have a great week and
be safe.
Be safe. All right.
Bye-bye.